We live in a world that emphasizes the outward physical features of a person, the outward physical beauty or physical features on the outside of a person. You don't have to be a sociologist or a psychologist to know that. Just simply look at the commercials on TV. Our commercials are geared toward the outward physical features of a person. You can look at movies and music and other cultural indicators that show that there's a clear emphasis on the outside physical features of an individual. In looking at that recently, I was doing some reading, and even among people in the world, they make that very point. I was reading an article in Allure magazine. Ladies, some of you might know what Allure magazine is. A fashion magazine, a fashion that deals with the looks of a person or what they're wearing. And there was an article written by a lady. This was just about 4 years ago. And she was making the point that many people, especially the ladies, feel pressured to change their outward looks, to meet some sort of a cultural standard of what a person should look like. And she mentioned in this article, it was very surprising, that 73%, this is a lot, 73% of ladies and girls that were surveyed wanted to undergo some sort of plastic surgery in order to change their physical features. There's a large portion of people that were surveyed that were not happy with their physical features. They believed that they should change that or they should look in a different way. So clearly we're in a culture that emphasizes that, to have that kind of mindset. So this morning I want us to remind ourselves of a very important principle that God tells us from His own Word about the outward looks versus the inward heart. And it comes from a very familiar passage to many of us if you'll turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7. The story here, of course, is Samuel is told to go find a replacement for King Saul. He has disobeyed God on at least two different occasions with the ill-advised sacrifice and then not utterly destroying the Amalekites. And we're going to pick up the reading in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 34, the last part of 1 Samuel chapter 15. I want us to be reminded this morning that the Lord looks on the heart. And there is clearly an emphasis today in our culture on the outward appearance. I wondered about that statistic that I was looking at. I was wondering about that phenomenon, and so I wanted to corroborate that with a couple of other sources. A lot of times when I research a particular matter, I try to use the rule of three. So I check three different sources, and you'll find the same thing when you look at other sources. Of course, I mentioned to you about that Allure magazine article. Oprah.com carries the same type of thing. She has a section on her website where she talks about physical beauty and clothes and makeup and things like that. And she was running an article on her website that had the same type of thing, that had a large number of people are not happy with their physical appearance. And they feel pressured in society to change that. And oddly enough, Dove, the soap maker, Dove.com runs an article mentioning the same thing. And so there's a stress, and especially on the ladies and the young girls, to fit a particular physical look. I want us to be reminded of what God is looking for in our lives. And we'll find that He's looking for what's on the inside of us this morning. In 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 34, then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to Gibeah to Saul, and Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. For Samuel mourned for Saul, and Jehovah repented that he had made king Saul king over Israel. And Jehovah said unto Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill thy horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And Jehovah said, take a heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to Jehovah. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which Jehovah spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the city came to meet him trembling, and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto Jehovah. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely Jehovah's anointed is before him. But Jehovah said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him, for Jehovah sees not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but Jehovah looks on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has Jehovah chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, neither hath Jehovah chosen this. And Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Jehovah has not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remains yet the youngest, and behold, he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come here. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, or some versions say reddish. This is the same word used for Esau when he came out of when he was born in Genesis 25, a reddish color, either on his hair or complexion. And withal a beautiful countenance and goodly to look upon. And Jehovah said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of Jehovah came mightily upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. What we find here is that God is wanting to select a replacement for Saul, but he's not looking, verse 7, he's not looking on the outward appearance of an individual. He's looking on the heart. And that's what I want us to be reminded on today. We're in a culture that stresses the outward appearance, when in fact we need to be thinking the inward heart and the inward character. And so this morning I want us to consider, first of all, the principle that is being laid down in this verse. And then we're going to look at the practice, how we might put it into place in our lives this day. Verse 7, very familiar, but I want us to be reminded of this important principle today. The Lord sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And I want our young people to hear that this morning. Those that are pressured to have this outward appearance, to fit a mold. This article that I was reading, the Allure article, written by a lady, she said that millennials, those that are born from the early 1980s up to 1997, that make up a large part of our population, are very much affected by this. They're affected by the pressure to look a certain way. And these are her words. She said, we live in a mean girl society. The mean girl society. Where the mean girls poke fun of the others on social media, at school, other places. If you don't look a certain way, we're going to belittle you and berate you. She called it the mean girl society. And that's not to say that boys can't do the same. I'm sure they have their fair share of that type of thing. But the mean girl society. There's clearly a focus on the outward appearance. Let's remind ourselves, first of all, this morning of the principle that is being laid down here. What is being said here in verse 7? A principle that I want us to walk out this morning remembering, and that is that man is going to focus on the outward appearance. That is just typical of our world. But God is desiring inward character. He's looking, if you'll look back at chapter 13 and verse 14, He's looking for someone who's going to be a man after my own heart. That's what I'm looking for. And when Samuel showed up, he's assuming, well, Eliab is going to be the next one. He assumed wrong. And he passes through all the children of Jesse, and they're not the ones. He's looking for someone who's going to be a man after my own heart. The heart is emphasized here. And Paul brings this up later in Acts chapter 13 and verse 22 when he's preaching. That David was a man after God's own heart. God is looking for character. God is looking for our inward beauty, if you will. Man typically looks on the outward appearance. And let's just be honest, we live in a superficial world. Let's just be honest about that. We live in a very superficial world where much is based upon a person's looks. You see it in the commercials. You see it in other places in society. You see it in the magazines. A person has to fit a certain look. And it's a shame that we can't get past the surface. And so the principle this morning is God is saying, look past the surface. Look to the heart of an individual. I don't care about a person's shape or size or color of skin or this or that. I don't care about that. And that's the opposite of what we see in our world today. What I care about is your heart right. And so we have to get past the superficial, up on the surface, and get down deeper and understand what God wants. Now, is God saying in this passage that I'm going to purposely ignore people if they look good? No, look at chapter 16. The text says in verse 12 that he was beautiful to look upon. David was beautiful to look upon. The principle this morning is not, I want to go around looking for ugly people. That's not the point. Whatever that might be, that's a subjective statement. Beauty, ugly, that's subjective. David ended up being someone who would be considered by outward appearances. Verse 12, as beautiful. But God is saying, that's not what's going to be my choice. I want to look at his heart. I want someone who will be a man after my own heart. You know, this shows up again, if you'll hold your hand there in 1 Samuel 16, and just later on in the book, if you'll turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 25. You remember the account where David and his men are on the run and they need something to eat, and they come to Nabal and they ask if he would feed them, and he doesn't want to feed them. And so David gets angry and he's going to engage in some petty revenge here, and he wants to kill Nabal. Do you remember that? And Nabal's wife, Abigail, stops him and keeps him from doing it. Do you remember how she's described in 2 Samuel chapter 25 and verse 3? Do you remember how she was described? She's described as a woman of beautiful countenance. But what does it say right before that? What's your Bible say right before that? It says she was a woman of understanding and beautiful countenance. Apparently she was a beautiful woman. But that's not what saved David. It was her wisdom and her prudence and her guidance. And when you read the chapter, she keeps David from engaging in this petty revenge. And she says, if you do this, you will be guilty of shedding blood. Don't do this. It was her wisdom and prudence and judgment. She apparently was a beautiful woman. But that's not what counted in this story. So a person might have some outward beauty by the world's standards, but it's what's on the inside that is making things right. So the principle this morning is that God is looking at our inward character. That's what He is looking at to make sure that we're in a right relationship with Him. As a part of this principle, it's being laid down that looks can be deceiving. Looks are not the standard of a person's worth and value in the sight of God. Looks is not what makes you right with God. When we get to the judgment day, nothing is going to be asked you about your looks. You're not going to be asked about the color of your skin. You're not going to be asked about your shape and size and how you're not going to be asked that on the judgment day. We're going to be asked about what's in our heart. Do you remember that Saul in 1 Samuel 9 and verse 2 and again in chapter 10, Saul was described as this individual who was head and shoulders above the rest. Boy, he was a big, tall, strapping fella. He was handsome. But look at his character. Saul was terrible in his character. He was disobedient in his worship to God and his service to God. But he was a good-looking fellow. Look at Absalom. Do you remember how Absalom was described in 2 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 25? How is Absalom described? 2 Samuel 14 in verse 25. Now in all Israel, there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty. From the sole of his foot, even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. But look at his character. Sorry character. It doesn't matter if we're handsome or if we're beautiful. What matters is our inward character. That's what God is looking for and looking at. And it's good to be reminded, I believe, this morning of that principle in this world that we live in. In Psalm 147 in verse 10, the psalmist writes about God, He delights not in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. Jehovah takes pleasure in them that fear Him, in those that hope in His loving kindness. God is not looking at how strong a man's legs are. He's looking at, do we fear Him? And so this morning, I want us to consider this principle in a very familiar passage. The Lord sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but Jehovah looks on the heart. Let's make sure this morning our heart is right with God. So let's ask ourselves, how can we put this into practice? I want to consider five areas this morning where we can put this principle into practice. If the principle is, I need to be focusing on the heart of an individual, not on their outward appearance, if I need to be seeing the way God sees, how can I put this into practice in my life? Well, the first thing that we can do is, we can be careful not to be prejudiced or a respecter of persons. And you're wondering, why am I showing this flower? This is the imperial crown flower. It's very common in modern day Turkey and the Middle East, some places of Afghanistan. It's called the imperial crown flower because it looks like an ancient crown that a king or queen would wear, where there would be a garland of flowers around it. And so it's called the imperial crown. It's a beautiful flower. It comes in orange and yellow and a dark red. It's vibrant. But when you get up close to it, it stinks like all get out. It's been described in two ways. It smells like a skunk, and others describe it as wet fur and garlic. What's the point? The point is, you can have an outward appearance. And you can look beautiful on the outside, but it's actually something that stinks. So looks can be deceiving. We don't need to judge based upon looks. And the people who grow these plants, they say that they don't grow them up close to the house for obvious reasons. It stinks. They put them out far away. Look beautiful, but smell. And so let's consider this principle this morning and put it into practice in this way. Let us never be a respecter of persons and judge people based upon the color of their skin. I believe we've made some strides in this nation with regard to civil rights and things like that. I believe we're moving in the right direction. But there's still some of those problems around. And people still will judge others based upon their shape and size and color of their skin and their nationality. And they'll treat some people better than they'll treat other people based upon the color of their skin. We need to see as God sees, not as man sees. We're all made in the image of God. All of us. We all have the same equal worth and the equal value in standing in the sight of God. Period. Some haven't learned that. And if we would understand the principle of 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, we would begin to understand that we're all made in the image of God. And He made all of us of one. Paul, in preaching in Athens, said He made of many, of one, many nations. That one is Adam and Eve. We all come from the same parents. And so, when we go to school and work in other places, let's treat everyone equally. Peter said that God is no respecter of persons, and neither should we be. In Acts chapter 10, Peter is talking about the people who can be saved by God, and it doesn't matter where they come from. Here is a Jew, Peter, in the home of Cornelius, a Gentile, and he's being taught by God that everyone is of the same value and worth. Everyone deserves an opportunity to be saved. And of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that fears Him and works righteousness is acceptable to Him. Every nation. And so, we treat everyone properly. Everyone with respect. Everyone with dignity. But it's not just what we might call racial differences. The color of our skin or what our racial background is. Turn with me to James chapter 2. Prejudice can show up with regard to what we might call economic status. It could show up with regard to how much money a person has, what kind of clothing they wear, what is their educational or social background. There can be prejudice along those lines, and we see it, unfortunately, among brethren. James is talking to brethren here, and somehow in their assembly, one of their assemblies, they were being prejudiced toward those of an economic standpoint. Verse 2, if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and fine clothing, and there come in also a poor man in vile clothing, and you have regard or respect to him that wears the fine clothing and say, sit here in a good place, and you say to the poor man, stand there or sit under my footstool, do you not make distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? It's evil because it's not the way God sees. Hearken, my beloved brethren, did not God choose them that are poor as to the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which He promised to them that love Him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and themselves drag you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme the honorable name by which you are called? Howbeit, if you fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect of persons, you commit sin. That's a serious thing. Being convicted by the law as transgressors. Sometimes prejudice is not based upon the skin color of an individual. It's based upon the economic status of an individual. Well, they smell a little bit, or they don't. Their clothes are dirty, and I don't want to be around them. So first of all, this morning, let's practice the principle with regard to our fellow man, that we're never going to be prejudiced. We're never going to engage in racial discrimination and being a respecter of persons toward anyone. We don't look on the outward appearance of a man. We judge a person by their, as Martin Luther King said in his famous speech, not by the color of his skin, but by the content of his character. And that is pretty biblical. I can see where we would need to practice this also with regard to what we talked about at the beginning of the lesson, this emphasis on the outward appearance, where you have to look a certain way. And we need to remember this morning that there's nothing wrong with taking care of our body. I'm all in favor of eating right and dieting and exercise and take care of your outward appearance. That's great. But God is not looking for that. What He's looking for is, are we working on our inward beauty? Are we working on our character? Do we stand in front of the mirror of the Bible just as much as we stand in front of the mirror in our bathroom or our bedroom? Are we working on those inner qualities, those inner characteristics that are actually beautiful in the sight of God? Let me encourage all of us, and again, especially our young people that are pressured, and even among them, our young girls. You're pressured to look a certain way. I would encourage you to just have that inner beauty that God is looking for, and don't worry about the other. Don't worry about what society says. Turn with me to Proverbs 31. We know the Bible teaches this. Work on your inward character each day. Don't worry about the mean girl society that is mean toward the way you physically look. You look the way God wants you to look, and that's all that matters. In Proverbs chapter 31, talking about that great chapter on the worthy woman and the virtuous woman, look at verse 30. Grace is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears Jehovah, she shall be praised. The point is that outward beauty is empty with regard to God. What's important is you fear God. And look back at verse 25. Strength and dignity are her clothing. That's what she's clothing herself with. Strength and dignity, those are inner moral qualities. So young ladies, each day get up and work on things like character, honesty, and wisdom, and prudence, and wholesomeness, and purity, and spiritual mindedness, and spiritually minded values that come from the Word of God. I'm going to work on my prayer life. I'm going to work on reading my Bible. I'm going to work on treating others the way I want to be treated. Those types of things are hardly ever taught. It's what's taught is this is the way you need to look. Work on those inward qualities. Turn with me to the New Testament. It's the same thing. Paul says the same thing that we find in the Old Testament. There's a focus on the inward beauty and the inward character of a woman. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, in like manner, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Paul does mention clothing, which is the outward thing, and it needs to be modest. The word there means adorned properly. But then he immediately turns to the inward person with shamefastness. That means I hold a sense of shame. I keep it fast. In other words,
I don't want to be so loose and profligate that I don't have any sense of shame anymore. I'm embarrassed. I don't want to show myself in a certain way. I don't want to act or say certain things that are shameful. I'm going to hold fast that sense of shame.
I'm going to keep it intact. And sobriety, clear-headedness, clear thinking, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly raiment, but which becometh women professing godliness through good works. Now he mentions good works. As a young Christian, going out and doing for others in a good way. This statement, not with braided hair and gold and pearls, it's not this alone, but also this. He's not saying don't ever wear those things. He's saying it's not just this, but it's also this. It's the inward beauty of a woman that is important. That's what you want to be working on. You never see that in the commercials. So work on shamefastness and sobriety and godliness and good works. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. It's the same thing there. Obviously, you wear clothing. Obviously, you can wear some other things that are in addition to that. But Paul and Peter are saying that's not where it's all at. And young men, by the way, we can look for a young woman who has that inward beauty. In 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter talks about gaining your husband through the behavior of their wives, not their looks. Their behavior. That comes from inner character. Beholding your chaste, that means holy, pure behavior coupled with fear. That's on the inside. Whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of the braiding of the hair and the wearing of jewels or gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. That's where we talk about inner beauty. Let it be the hidden man of the heart. And then look at what he mentions. An incorruptible, it doesn't pass away, of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. For after this manner, that is the meek and quiet spirit, the inward beauty, the inward character, after this manner, aforetime, the holy women also who hoped in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose children you now are, if you do well, and are not put in fear by any terror. In other words, ladies, verse 1, wives, follow that same approach that the holy women of old did, and that was a focus on the inward beauty. That's what God is looking for at the end of the day. And that's what we need to be focusing on. Another area where we can put this principle into practice is engaging in righteous judgment. Looking at a person's heart and looking at a person's character, not just the outward appearance of things. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 23. Some people in Jesus' day, some Jews, they had an outward appearance of being very religious, but inwardly they were corrupt. And so let's make sure that we're not just putting on an outward facade, just an outward appearance of being religious, but inwardly we are truly following God and His Word. You hypocrites, you cleanse the outside of the cup and the platter, but within are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first the inside of the cup and of the platter, that the outside thereof may be clean also. The same thing in verse 27 and 28. Let's make sure that we're righteous from the inside out. Anybody can put on an air of being religious. That happens all the time. But inwardly, are we truly right with God? And not only that, when we go to judge or assess a situation, turn with me to John chapter 7. Jesus said that we are to judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Something may appear to be a certain way in the church or other places, but we don't base judgment on the way things appear, what we see or hear or feel, but what is actually going on. So that means getting to the heart of a matter, talking with the person and find out really what is going on. So it shows up in practice in that way as well. And Jesus, with regard to Matthew 23, he wasn't just going to base an assessment on an outward appearance. If he did that, then these Pharisees would be fine. We all come into the temple, we're in our long robes, oh, we're religious. And Jesus said, no, I'm going to look at the heart of the matter. And that's how we assess not only ourselves, but others around us. It helps us to engage in righteous judgment. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 7. This is kind of interesting. Those false teachers who were trying to tear down Paul's character, that's generally what 2 Corinthians is about. They were trying to tear down his character, and they were getting the Corinthian brethren to look at appearances and not what Paul really was. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 7, he deals with this. He says, you look at the things that are before your face. If you come down to verse 10, you can see what he's referring to there. They were saying his bodily presence is weak. Oh, Paul, he's just this little old frail man. He doesn't know what he's doing. Don't listen to him. Don't follow his word. And in verse 7, he says, you look at things that you can see. Don't look at my outward appearance. I'm an apostle, and what I'm teaching is the word of God. So these false teachers were trying to get the Corinthians to dismiss Paul just based upon the way he looked. So we can practice it with regard to judgment situations. Number 4. We can practice this principle while we're here in 2 Corinthians. Turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We can practice this principle with regard to just aging. You know, we're getting older. And every year there's more wrinkles and there's more gray hair and there's less hair, in my case, on the top of my head. And there's all those things that go on. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4 that the outward things are decaying. That's the body. But the inward man is renewed day by day. As we get older, Ecclesiastes 12, 3 through 7, Solomon talks about how the teeth go, the eyes go, the hearing goes. And he mentions all those different things that go as you get older. But in verse 7 he says, but the spirit returns unto God who gave it. The outward body is going to go. It's going to get old. It's going to fall apart. But we have a spirit inside of us. And if we live right and act right, it can go and return to God and be with Him for eternity in heaven. And so we don't need to get focused on the outward decaying. So look at 2 Corinthians 4:16. Don't faint. He says, we faint not. But though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. We're not going to be focused on the outward appearance in the physical body. It's decaying. Paul said, I'm going to focus on being renewed each day in the inward man. And that's where your prayer comes in, and your Bible reading, and worshiping God regularly. It's going to renew us each and every day, even as we go through those times where we say, hey, this is decaying and that's decaying. For our light affliction, which is for the moment, works for us more and more an exceedingly weight of eternal glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, we're not going to focus on the outward body. Well, what are we going to focus on? The things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. So the next time you look in the mirror, that's just temporal. It's just temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. And then he goes right into a discussion of when we die and we're right with God, we can go and be at home with Christ. We can have this eternal habitation, this resurrected body, this physical body that is slowly falling apart is going to fall apart. It's going to decay. But the inward man can be renewed day by day. And that's why it's so important to renew the inward man. Prayer, Bible study, and worship, and those things. It never decays. It never gets old. And we take it with us all the way through our life. And when we die, Paul says in the next chapter, we go to be with Christ and go to be at home with Him. Keep that in mind. That the outward man is falling apart. And that's what all the commercials appeal to. But we have our inward man that is renewed day by day. And then last of all, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We can apply this principle when it comes to bodily exercise. What's on the outside versus what's on the inside. And Paul says that there is some value to bodily exercise. And I mentioned earlier, I think it's great. I think it's great when we, if we need to diet and if we need to exercise more and we need to keep our bodies better, I think that's great. And Paul says that it does do some good. Bodily exercise is profitable for a little. That's right. It'll help us. But godliness, that's what's on the inside. That's the inner beauty, the inner character, the inner man. Godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life which now is and that which is to come. Put a focus on the inward godliness instead of the outward bodily exercise. There's nothing wrong with going to a gym. There's nothing wrong with doing that. But make sure that while we're doing that, we're focusing more on our godliness. There's nothing wrong with those things that we do to take care of our body and stay active. But make sure that what's more important is that inward godliness, that we're working on that. The word here in verse 8, translated exercise, is the Greek word from which we get our English word gymnasium. Gym, gymnasium, gymnastics. It meant two things. It meant, first of all, the hall or the place in which exercise was taking place, the gymnasio, the gymnasium. But it also had the idea of serious effort, putting forth work and effort and sweat and really getting after it. And so look at verse 8 again. He talks about, and exercise yourself unto godliness. This is not the person sitting in the gym bleachers. This is the person down on the gym floor running and sweating and lifting and exerting. Exercise yourself unto godliness. Let's not be the one who's sitting on the gym bleacher, but the one who's down on the floor. When you go to watch Macy play basketball, I can watch her all day long because I'm sitting in the bleachers. I'm not sweating. She's the one doing the hard work. She's down on the floor. She's the one doing the hard work. It's easy to sit in the bleachers. This is the person who's down on the floor putting the extraneous effort into it. That's the word exercise. It's not just sort of like casually moving. Sweating. Running. Exercise ourselves unto godliness. Let's put all the effort we can into being godly. And that will be what God wants. Well, the lesson is yours. We appreciate your participation and thinking about this principle. We live in a world, I believe, that is just so superficial, stuck on the outward appearance. And it's good to be reminded that God does not see as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. What a great reminder this morning, and I hope that we'll go out and practice that. And if you need to begin this morning correcting your heart and bringing it in line with God through obedience to the gospel or coming back to the Lord in some way, we would encourage you to do that. As we walk out this morning, He's not looking on the outside. He's looking to see if our heart is right, and we have an opportunity to make it right this morning. And if we can help you do that, why don't you come as we stand and as we sing.